So I did know I was sharing tonight. And the Lord had put the idea for this message in my heart some time ago. And the title of it is Lift Your Vision Higher. And he'd been talking to me a lot lately about expecting more from him, expecting more of myself in him, to lift my vision higher, to not look here and not look here, but to look here and let him say what our vision will be. And as I've been kind of mulling over these thoughts for quite a long time now, I started hearing some other things on TV and another person, here, there, everywhere, posted on Facebook. I kept hearing this message. I've decided not to expect anything so that I'll never be hurt. And the more I heard that, the sadder I got hearing that. Because that kind of a statement comes from somebody who's been wounded and has had an expectation in some way and has gotten hurt by it, and they've decided the way to never get hurt again is don't expect anything from anybody. You know, I think it was who's the guy with the crazy hair? The scientist. Einstein, thank you. I could picture him, but I couldn't think of his name. Who said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So sometimes people get trapped in that, don't they? They do the same thing over and over again and expect something different's going to happen. But it doesn't. Sometimes we get hurt because we have temporal values instead of eternal values. We're the quick fix generation, aren't we? Zap everything in the microwave. I just have to say something funny that Denise told me once about one of her daughters. She said to her kids, dinner's almost ready, and they said, no, it can't be because we didn't hear the microwave start. So that's what we want. We want something that we can see with our eyes, that we can understand, and that we can get it quickly. And if we don't get it, we get disappointed and have lower expectations. Look at our education system today. How low the expectations are of the kids. I remember reading somewhere that they wanted to lower the passing grade to 50. And I'm like, so people only have to know half of what they're taught? That doesn't seem right. So expectations aren't being lifted higher and expecting people to come up to it. When people won't come up to it for whatever reason, let's just lower the expectations. Let's not expect that when you get married, you're going to be married forever. Let's plan for divorce before we even get married. You know, there's a scripture, a couple. One is, it says, people will perish without a vision. We have to have something, some expectation, something that we're looking to, a vision, so that we don't perish. Goals for our life. And I think that's a lot of what's happening with the younger generation today, is they don't have any goals, long-lasting goals anyway. And there's that scripture in Proverbs 13 that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. So there's potential for life. And certainly that's why Jesus came, didn't he? To give us life and that more abundantly. But hope deferred or set aside. And as I was praying about this message, I remembered a time in my life that happened. And I was 12 years old, and I was reared in a different tradition than the one I am in now. And so at 12 years old, in our tradition, you were confirmed. And it was a big deal. You got to pick an extra name. That was fun, trying to figure out a name. And the bishop is the one that came and confirmed you, and he gave you a little pat on the face and put oil on your head. And what we were told was when that happened, you would receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I was a very religious little girl, and so I always wanted to know about God. And the Holy Spirit, I thought, was really cool. From what I knew, even in the tradition I was in. So I was all set. The second that oil went on my forehead, I was going to get the Holy Spirit. Now, I had no idea really what that meant. And that expectation didn't come to pass for several reasons, but I wasn't saved. So God is not going to give me the Holy Spirit if I don't know him, right? But I had that expectation because somebody told me that's what was going to happen with this ritual. You would receive the Holy Spirit. So I was waiting. My grandmother was my confirmation sponsor, and she had her hand on my shoulder, and here comes the bishop. And he gave me the little pat on the cheek and oil on my head, and I'm like, nothing. My hope was deferred, and it made my heart a little sick. And it was the first time in my life that I thought, maybe the adults don't always know what they're talking about. I was really disappointed. And it made me less expectant of receiving anything from God. What happens when that goes on long enough? When we have that attitude of not just what we receive from God, but from other people. When we've decided it's too painful to not have what I expected to happen, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, whether it's true or not, whether it should happen or not, I have an expectation of something or someone, and when it doesn't happen, and I get disappointed and get hurt, I better protect myself. And so when we have no or low expectations, we guard our hearts. We close off part of ourselves that says, I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm not about to expect anything good will happen and then I will never be hurt again. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because not only will we be hurt again, we will live so far below what God wants us to be. We will lose our sense of vision. We will lose our sense of destiny. We will be joyless. And I hope someday Alan comes and shares a teaching that God had revealed to him through a series of things about not being aware. Because when you start guarding yourself and going in, your vision drops, literally. And we live in a culture now of people who aren't alert because they're doing this all the time, looking down. How can we see? How can we have vision when all we're doing is this? So, Lord, I pray that tonight, as we look at expectation in our own visions, Lord God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us and convict us. And, Lord, you would once again make us expectant. And I thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. No person will ever fulfill all of your expectations. No one person. You know, Ron and I were married, I was young. I was 20 when we got married. And I'd never lived away from home. And I was, you know our testimony, drunk and crazy. I was the crazy one. And I had a lot of expectations that I put on Ron. Because I thought he could fix me. And I thought that he could meet all of my needs. And I think if he was here and I could ask him, he probably would say he had the same kind of expectations. But when that happens, when we start to look at people and place expectations upon them that we shouldn't and that they cannot fulfill, even if they wanted to, because there are some things that God and God alone can fulfill in our lives. And so we started out our marriage having all these expectations of each other, and I think we both were disappointed most of the time. But we had our focus and our vision on people and not on God. And very early on in my Christian walk, which was we'd been married 5 years, the Lord just said to me, give this guy a break. He cannot. I have not equipped him to meet all of your needs. Now, there were some expectations that were okay for me to have of him and him of me. I expected that he would remain faithful to me in our marriage, and he did. He expected the same of me. I expected that we would be in partnership and provide for our family. Those aren't wrong. But that there were certain other expectations of healing my hurts, my inner hurts, that he had no clue about, even, because I didn't even know what they were. And when I expected him to meet those needs and fulfill those things, it was just wrong. And I was putting a pressure on him and an expectation that he never, ever could fulfill. And I have expectations of you, my friends, but you can't meet all of my needs either. God put us together as a body for a reason, but he never intended other people to meet all of our expectations. Because if they did, why in the world would we ever look to him? Listen what the scripture says. Psalm 39:7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for and expect? My hope and my expectation are in you. Period. The psalmist is asking a question. What do I wait for and expect? And he answers, my hope and my expectation are in you. Psalm 42:5. Why are you cast down, O my inner self, or my soul? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God and wait expectantly for him. Soul, behave yourself. Stop being upset that your needs aren't being met or that your expectations aren't being met. Be quiet. And hope in God, and wait for him to come and meet those needs. Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait only upon God and silently submit to him, for my hope and my expectation are of him. And then it goes on in Psalm 62 to say, for he is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress, my defense, my unyielding, powerful strength. We should trust in him, lean on him, rely on him, have confidence in him at all times, and pour out our hearts before him. No other person can be all those things for me, my fortress and my defense, my rock. No one but him. So the first step is we need to put our expectations where they belong. And again, I hope you're hearing It's okay to expect certain things from those around us, but ultimately, our greatest expectation needs to be from Him. Now, you know, you're not getting away without definitions. So, in Strong's, the first thing it says is to take from or receive. So you're receiving something from God. It also means to await or to wait for something. You have an expectation. Well, as I said before, we're this instant answer culture, waiting expectantly for more than a minute sometimes is hard for us to do. It says reaching out in readiness to receive something. You know, the picture I got is a temporal one, but my home away from home is Wegmans, you know. And so the cashier tells me what I owe, and then she puts her hand out because she's expecting I'm going to put money or my card or something in that hand. So when we're waiting on God, are we waiting like this? Expecting He's going to put something in that hand. It says to watch toward or to look for. And all I could think of was the father of the prodigal son. Because when he finally comes to himself and starts heading home, what was the father doing? Waiting and looking for him. And I'm pretty sure he just didn't wander out that morning. Because as he approached, he ran to him. He was waiting, expecting, knowing this kid's going to come to the end of himself someday. And I'm going to be ready to greet him when he comes back. I have an expectation that my daughter, who's not walking fully with the Lord, is coming back. And I watch for that. Every little thing that happens that moves her closer, I'm aware of that. Because I'm watching and I'm waiting. And I even think sometimes about the conversations we're going to have. And I picture her with her hands raised in worship again, singing before Him. I'm waiting expectantly. But do you know what my expectation is? Is that God's going to apprehend her. So my expectation is still in Him. Because I know as much as I love Sarah, He loves her more. And I expect that He is going to apprehend her and bring her home. In the Strong's Concordance, I found this in the Strong's Dictionary, Strong's Concordance, Webster's Dictionary. Expectation, the act of expecting or looking forward to a future event with at least some reason to believe that the event will happen. And it says expectation differs from hope because hope originates in desire and may exist with little or no ground of belief that the desired event will arrive. Like, I hope the sun's going to shine tomorrow. There may be little or no proof that will happen in Rochester, right? I hope a lot of things. But sometimes it's not based on anything but what I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow because we have a picnic. But I have nothing concrete to base that on. Expectation is founded on some reasons which render the event probable and possible. So when we expect something, we do it with good reason. If we're expecting the right things, hope is directed to some good. Expectation can be good or evil. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. It's the state of expecting with either hope or fear. The prospect of something good coming. My soul, wait thou only on God, for my expectation is from him, as we read earlier. In the Webster's, it says, also the object of expectation, like the expected Messiah, is the example it gives. You know, it says in Luke, I believe, the beginning of Luke, that people were expectant and looking for the Messiah. And when John the Baptist showed up, they wondered if it was him, because they were looking and waiting and expecting the Messiah would be coming. A state or qualities in a person which excite expectations in others of some future excellence. I want to be someone that not only has godly expectations, but will stir you up to have godly expectations too. We need to be encouraging one another to expect the better, the greater, the higher things. And then it talks about something that's reducible to a computation, and it's kind of long and involved, but it means like a down payment or an investment in something. If you make a down payment or you invest in something, it's because you expect you're going to have a certain kind of return, right? And so you will place that expectation on something or someone you know will follow through. So, what reasons would render our expectations of God that something will happen? Because it said expectation differs from hope, because we expect something is going to happen. And we have some sort of proof of that. What proof do you have that you can expect something from God? I hid the wrong proof when I was confirmed, because it wasn't God that said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit on this date. It wasn't him. So what can prove to me? Well, how would you prove a relationship with someone else? You would spend time with them, right? You would get to know them. Before I gave a workman a down payment or an expectation of work done, I'd want to know, is he a good worker? Tell me a little something about you. We need to know about God's character. And as we get to know a person, then we begin to have experience, don't we, that says, I'm learning what I can expect from this person. Some of you here I've known for a long time, 30 years or more. And so I know what I can expect. When you give me your word, I know you're going to do it. When you say you're going to pray for me, I know you're going to do it. So what does that cause me to do? Ask you to pray for me, because I know you're going to do it. If you said, is there anything I can do to help you? Some people I know really mean that. So I expect when they say that, I can ask them to help me with something, and they will do it. So we need to have that same expectation of God based on his character and on his nature. He cannot be anything but what he is. And we will get to know what he is by reading his word and by spending time with him and by building memories with him, memorials. So what do we know? We know he is love. We know that about God. So that our expectation of him is love. That whatever he does, whatever he says, is going to be motivated by love. We know that he's not a man that can lie. He is truth. When we read about him, when he speaks to us, it is truth. He is all-knowing. He has perfect perspective. He sees things that we can't see with our natural eye. One of my favorite illustrations of that, and I was just talking to somebody about it, was the demoniac in the cave. I mean, nobody knew what to do with this man. He was in a cave. He was naked. He was chained. He was howling around. He was cutting himself. He was acting like a crazy person. But Jesus came and saw an evangelist. He cast those demons out of him, and the man was so overwhelmed with joy that he said, God, let me go with you. Jesus, let me go with you. And he said, no, you stay here and tell everyone what I've done for you. Now, when Jesus left that area that time, it was because the people were afraid of him and they drove him out. When he came around that circuit again, they were all waiting for him. Why? Because the evangelist that had lived in the cave went and told them all that Jesus had done. They began to have what? An expectation. He had a testimony, and it stirred up expectation in the lives of all those people that didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus before. Our godly expectations are eternal. Scripture says in several places, expectation dies with the wicked. Whatever they expected that was evil and wicked dies with them. Godly expectation continues through the generations. It goes on and hopefully gets stronger with each generation. I know that if God makes a promise to me, he will keep it. This book is full of promises from Genesis to the last page in Revelation, promise after promise after promise. He also has made promises specifically to me. One of the first promises he ever made to me was shortly after I was saved. And it wasn't one of those, I'm just going to name it and claim it things. It was one of the very first things I ever heard from God. And he said to me, your family will all know me before they leave this earth. Now, I didn't have much experience with God at that time. And I was the first one in my family to be saved. Well, then I had a testimony, right? I used to be crazy. Now then I wasn't as. My husband, who was an alcoholic, 6 months after me, got saved and completely delivered from alcohol abuse. Completely. In a moment. I began to have a greater expectation. Here's me. Here's Ron. Within just a few months after that, my sister got saved. A short while after that, her daughter Jenna got saved, and then her son, and then her husband, and then my stepfather, and my mother, and Ron's parents, and on it went. Now, we still have a few in our family that aren't saved, but guess where my expectation is? Because I've got this long list of people going on. At one point, when my mom was still with us, there were four generations of believers alive on the earth. Because of that experience, I have great expectation that all of my family will come to know the Lord before they die. And some of them, well, myself included, were tough nuts to crack. Ron's brother had been a heroin addict. and into all kinds of, he was a jazz musician. That's all I probably need to say. He got saved, radically saved, one after the other. So my expectation is, God, you gave me that promise. And I am waiting with hope. And my family is memorial stones are so important. When those things happen, when expectations are fulfilled, it down, keep a journal. The young lady, my mentor, I tell them all the time. Right. You to read to your children and your grandchildren. Pass that down. We may not have money or businesses or cars to for our children. But we have eternal things. Keep those memorial stones. Refer back to them. Because you know what? What he's done. Your life, he will do again. If he saved one of my family members, he's going to save them all. Be healed. You once he will heal you again. If he saved today, he will save others. We also have to recognize that he is outside of time. We talk about the time in our Jeffrey. Group. God is outside of time. He has our past covered, our present covered, and our future. All at once. Now, in this now moment, and we can expect that our past is forgiven, and we talk about that at communion, and we have that experience of being a new creation. We don't do the same things we used to do. Even those of us who've been walking together as Christians, we've been refined and honed over the years because the road gets narrower as we go. And so we change. We're present. Is covered as well. He has come. He is still coming. In every situation, we can say, God, will you meet me here? Will you meet me in the hospital room with my parents? Will you meet me in the grocery store? Will you meet me here? Yes, he will. Our present, in our present, we're called to good works that have been created. And set in motion outside of time before the foundation of the earth. We are called to do the greater thing. Right here and now. Greater, it says, are the things we will do. Do you expect that? That you will do greater things than Jesus did? What if every morning you woke up and said, God, I expect that today I'm going to do something great. I'm expecting it. We are co-laborers with God. Do you expect to work with him? Do you expect to do jobs for him? Do you expect to be in partnership with him? Where's your expectation? He is supernatural. We need to expect supernatural things to happen. Not everyone's But all the time. Just as he is love, he is supernatural, isn't he? And so the supernatural should become natural for us. We need to remain in awe of him, but we need to expect, God, you are going to do something supernatural. The impossible becomes possible. Do you expect that? Have you ever faced anything impossible? I'm going to give an example of Mary Beth, who bought a house and got a mortgage without a job. That is impossible. But she did it, didn't you? And paid it off in like half the time. Something impossible. Everything is possible with him. We need to expect it. Just today, someone was saying to me, it's absolutely impossible. I'm girding myself up because it is impossible. And I'm like, only if God says it is. But anything is possible. Can you think of one thing that's not possible to God? Anything? If someone who never knew a man can bear a child, anything is possible. We are called, every one of us, to bring the good news to the world using your own individual gifting and calling. Do you expect that? That you are called as a minister to bring the good news to the world? If we expect that, we may act differently, talk differently, do different things. When James Sheridan was here, he shared at our home group, and he said, God wants to seek and save that which was lost, not those. Everything is waiting for God's redemptive plan to take place. How? Through the sons of men. In Romans, doesn't it say, even all of creation has the, it's called earnest expectation of the coming of the sons of men. The whole world is waiting for us to expect to do the things that God expects us to do. He expects that we will. Do you expect you will? That's the question, right? And for our future, we as believers have confident hope and expectation of what God has reserved for us in heaven. Do you expect that when you leave this earth, you aren't going to really die? You're just going to step over into another dimension and live forever with him. That is my expectation for me and everybody in this room. Our expectation is that no eye has seen nor ear heard those things that God's prepared for us. We can't even imagine it, but I expect it's going to happen. I know it. No one can talk me out of it. I also, sadly, have an expectation that those who don't ever come to the saving knowledge of God will end up in a different place. They're not promised eternal life. Hebrews 10:26 says, if we go on sinning, there's an awful and fearful prospect and expectation of divine judgment. For us to want to preach the gospel, we also have to have that expectation that someone's eternity may be in your hands. Now, we can't save them. I'm not saying that. But if you are the instrument that God has used to place in their lives to bring them the good news of the gospel, you've got to believe that if you don't obey, there's an eternal consequence for them. And that is part of why the church, you know, has done away with that, that there's an eternal consequence of not knowing Jesus. That's a dangerous place to be. You know, and there's this kind of universal salvation. Everything has the potential to be saved, but not everything will be. Not everyone will be. And I haven't found that in the scripture anywhere. Men have lost the fear of the Lord and the expectation that what he says is true. And so often, we think God is winking at our sin when he shows long-suffering and loving-kindness. And we mistake it for him saying, it's okay. My husband used to say all the time, God will deal as gently with us as we let him. If we say, yes, Lord, he doesn't have to take us to the woodshed, does he? He will deal as gently with us as we let him. And for everyone, there is a day coming when a trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. He will come with his angels, and one way or another, we're all going to be judged by him. And the whole world needs to have that expectation. I'm not going to preach for a long time tonight because there's some other things I want to do. But I want to just talk for one more minute or two about what keeps us from being willing to expect things from God. One is our hearts have become hardened because of those disappointments. The problem with allowing our heart to be hardened is we can't dictate what part will be hardened. A hardened heart is a hardened heart. So we go to care about something or love someone or even worship with abandon or love God the way we should, and we hit this wall because we are protecting ourselves. We have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to take the chance. I choose life and feeling over this hardness of heart because I want to live. I want to live and fulfill the destiny that you have for me. Sometimes we just have unbelief. You know, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When my friends, the Sheridans, were here, before they left Wales, Ezra, who is 4, told his parents, I've talked to God and asked him for snow while we're in America. And James, by his own confession, and Lucy to a degree, said, well, Ezra, it's spring there, you know, and we don't want you to be disappointed if it doesn't snow. He said, but I talked to God about it and asked him for snow. Well, the first day they were here, on a Friday, they were up before I was, and they opened the curtains in the living room to find snow. And Ezra's like, I told you. I talked to God about it. He, at 4 years old, believed that God loved him enough and he was bold enough to ask for something that didn't make sense here. Sometimes, in order to fulfill our expectations or have it and fulfill God's expectations of us, we have to stop trying to have it make sense. We have to try and figure everything out, don't we? Why? All he knew, this little boy, was that God loved him and that he had the freedom to say, God, would you let it snow? Now, for our sakes, it didn't snow the whole time they were here. It was one day and then over with. But we need to have childlike expectation of the things that God has promised us and said will happen. Just like a child. Not childish, but childlike. With that innocence and that expectation that God loves us. And if we're not asking amiss, he's going to do something. He is a rewarder of those who are faithful. He loves to reward us, to build our faith. Now, not only, well, Ezra's faith didn't need to be built because he was pretty confident it was going to snow. But he built the faith of the rest of us, right? With his testimony, I talked to God, and of course it's going to snow. Sometimes we get frustrated and lose that expectancy because we step out of God's time. I had something happen this week. I don't even know when it was, but sometime after Ron went home. Well, actually, I have to say before Ron went home. He had told me several times, death came near, but I can't go yet. Because there's one more person to pray for, and I don't know that you're going to be okay. And my answer to that was, I'm going to be sadder than I've ever been in my life, but I know that I'll be okay because God is with me. And he said, I haven't gotten that word yet. So one day, maybe about 2 weeks before he went home, he said, I got the word last night. And he said, come here. And he took me by the hand and he said, I want you to make me a promise. I want you to promise me that you won't stop living. Because God has shown me that there's a lot more for you to do. And I want you to do everything God asks you to do. And then he prayed a blessing over me and released me to those things. Now, well, I was a basket case for most of the rest of the day, but I knew that he had seen something and he had an expectation of something God was going to do in me. So as most of you know, after Ron went home, I started having these little getaway with God weekends. And on one of them, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to start a ministry. And I'm like, I'm 67 years old at the time. And maybe a little too old to be starting a ministry, separate from what my work here, like Alan Casey have Friend of God Ministries. And God said, no, I want you to start a ministry. I'm like, okay. And instantly I thought about Ron saying, there's much more for you to do. I've seen it. He expected that God would do something. A short while after that, he gave me the name of the ministry. And I'm like, wow, God is expecting something here. And I knew there were steps to take. I talked to Alan Casey. You know, I have no idea how to do this. So they said, well, you've got to go on the IRS website. You've got to get a tax number and blah, 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 blah. This whole long list of things. Well, I tried to do that more than once, and honestly, I am not an illiterate person, and I do my taxes. I could not make head or tail out of it. And Alan kept saying, too, because he has his own business, Mom, it's really not that hard. And I'm like, I just don't understand it. And I got frustrated, and I thought, maybe I just dreamt that, because I'm not getting anywhere with doing this thing that I think God has expected me to do. And that happened several times, and I just felt a little frustrated because nothing was happening. And Alan Casey asked me, everyone, how's it going? Alan asked me, how's it going? It's not. So Wednesday, I had set aside the whole afternoon to work on this message, and I was getting nowhere fast with this. And I'm like, God, I know it's in my heart. Do you want me just to give it without any notes at all? I can do that. And he said, no, you're doing the wrong thing today. And I realized that I had not asked God, what am I supposed to do today? I had just made a list of things I was going to do and expected he would bless it. That was my expectation. So I realized, first of all, I needed to repent. God, I'm really sorry. I never once asked you, what do you want me to do today? I just assumed I've got this block of time. Okay, I'm really sorry. Obviously, it's not work on the message for Saturday. What am I supposed to do? And he said, Scent of Water is the name of the ministry. I want you to do what needs to be done to start Scent of Water. And I just kind of went, oh. Because I've tried. But this was God's timing. I went on the first. I checked out. Does anybody else in New York State have this for a name? No. As far as I knew, I had found the right site somehow. No, nobody does. Went back on the IRS website. Within, honestly, without exaggeration, 10 minutes, I had my tax number printed out on my printer. And I'm like, oh, all of a sudden it made perfect sense to me. And in 5 or 10 minutes, I had this paper in my hand saying, this is what you need. So now I'm getting expectant. What do you want me to do next, God? He said, go to the county clerk's office and register this. Showed me where to get the paperwork online. I downloaded it, filled it out, went. So I'm like, where is the county clerk's office downtown? So I looked up on Google and found out where it was, Main and Fitzhugh Street. And I'm like, downtown. And I started this, let me just say, at 1:30. And the whole thing, looking on the line and everything. So I found a place to park in a parking lot, but they wanted an incredible amount of money, and I'm like, I'm not spending that. So I went around another corner, and there is a parking spot about 10 paces away from the entrance to the county clerk's office with a parking meter. So I'm like, oh, change for the parking meter. But I'm getting excited and expectant. So I rummage around in my purse, and I pull out enough change to get 22 minutes on the parking meter. And I'm like, okay, God, here we go. So I went into the building. I first went downstairs erroneously. Then I went upstairs, found the information. They directed me to the right office to file this. There's nobody there, no line, nothing. Some man says, oh, come over here. I can help you right away. Made copies, did blah, 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 all the different things that happened. That's an interesting name, Scent of Water. What does that mean? Got to tell him where it's a scripture in Job. And got through that, walked out of the building with Scent of Water registered. I have a tax number, and the name of this is registered with the county and the state. So I'm like, ooh, even though I didn't have to wait, there were several steps to getting this. And I got to the parking meter, And there was 11 minutes left on the parking meter. And I'm like, no. 11 minutes? Well, now I'm really excited because I'm pretty sure I was in there longer than 11 minutes. So either God stopped the meter or just stopped time altogether. I don't know which. I don't care which. Because when I walked out, 11 minutes were left on this parking meter. And now I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do next? Go to the bank and open a checking account in this name. Like, okay. So off I go to the bank, meet has this guy. That's an interesting name. Get to witness to him. I get back home. From start to finish, it was 1 hour and 45 minutes. That includes parking, traffic, upstairs, downstairs, wrong office, right office. 1 hour and 45 minutes. Guess what? God can do anything. There is nothing impossible for him. He's also not a respecter of persons. What he's done for me, he will do for you. If you hear what it is that he expects you to do, and you do it in his timing with childlike expectation, watch and see what he can do. He's waiting for you to say, yes, I'm expectant, God, that you are going to use me in some way that's going to make an eternal difference in this world. I'm confident of it. And I'm confident of it for you if you can't be yet. I know that God wants to do that in each one of you and for each one of you. So I want to do a few things. I want us to pray a little bit. Then the Lord led me to a song that is probably 20 years old. And it's about lifting your vision higher. And the Lord told me to expect tonight, as we play this song, I'm going to give you a warning, it's almost 15 minutes long. But God told me, and I'm expectant, that he is going to do something in every single one of us as we listen to this song and as we pray. So, Father, first of all, we repent, O God. We repent, Father, for hardening our hearts. In trying to protect ourselves when things didn't go the way we thought they should. And I pray, oh God, that you would do a deep work of healing. Quickly, in the next few minutes, in all of our hearts. Lord, we want our hearts to be free, to be in agreement with you, to believe you are who you say you are, and you cannot be anything else. And then to believe that we are who you say that we are, and we no longer want to be anything else. And Father, we loose and release every person that we have bound by having false expectations of them, of not looking to you, but putting that on human beings, Lord God. in the way our expectations have made them feel frustrated and less than who it is you say they are. And Father, we take authority over every spirit of unbelief that tells us we're too young, we're too old, we don't know enough. And Lord, we pray that faith would rise up within us, that we would lift our heads, that we would lift our hands, that we would lift our hearts, that we would lift our vision higher. Lord, that we would expect that you would do amazing, supernatural things in our lives and through our lives. And Father, make us be those who wait in your timing expectantly, that when you say go or you say do, nothing is impossible. And Lord, we put our hands out, Lord, expecting that you are going to place new vision within our hands and in our hearts this very night, Lord. Do it, God. We ask you to do it, God, for your glory, for the kingdom's sake, O God, that not one person that has been assigned to us would perish, but that our expectation would be for all, however you see fit, with the gifts and the talents you've given us, O God. Lift our vision higher.
Thank you.
Stir up our faith, O God. Declare before the hosts of heaven and hell, there is nothing impossible with our God. There is nothing impossible that God can do all things in us and through us. He is the Lord.
Thank you, God. There's nothing too hard for you, O God.
Change your thinking, O God. Remove every lie, every hindrance, everything that speaks against your possibilities, Lord. Thank you, God. We release those that we've held captive by our expectations, and we say, be free. Be free from our expectations. We will trust and rely and hope on and expect what we need from God. Father, we expect great things. We expect supernatural things. We expect that nothing will be impossible as we follow your lead, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every objection must go. Every hindrance must go. Every lie is silenced. Father, we believe you are who you say that you are. We believe you can do what you say you can do. Lord, we believe we can do what you say we can do. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel like we need to make some declarations. So if you have one to make, I want you just to come up and do it. And I'll start. Now, I want you to be bold. And I want you to remember this has nothing to do with you. It has to do with what God is going to do. So I declare right now, that scent of water will do all that God has intended it to do, that it will influence, that it will change, that it will shift things through me for God's glory. And I declare that to be true. And I pray, Father, and thank you for the vision you've given me, for the name you've given me, for the way that you've caused it to come about. And I declare, Lord, that it will be for your glory. Now, I know there's other declarations that need to be made. You don't even have to see it yet with your eye, but you need to declare it. So if you're brave enough and bold enough, we want to agree with one another that these things are true and will come to pass. Thank you, Lord. So just come up.
Father, I declare that over my blog, Marriage Supper of the Lamb, Lord, as I have stepped out in obedience to the prophet's word over me, Lord, I thank you that that blog is going to minister life to people, that that blog is going to minister truth, it's going to encourage, it's going to bring hope to people, it's going to also cut where it needs to cut, because truth will be there, and that, Lord, you will bless it because it's your word, and that your word, even as it's been going forth around the world and throughout United States, Lord, for almost 2 years or more, Lord, I thank you that your hand is not too short, Lord, that you cannot cause that which needs to be said on a daily basis to come forth by the Spirit through me. And I also decree and declare that those presbytery words that were spoken over my life and those things that still have not come to pass, God, you're not slow in doing it, God, but that you are going to bring forth. And I declare that every purpose and every plan that the Lord has had for my life will be fulfilled, that there will be nothing lacking, nothing lacking, nothing left out because of disobedience. And so I declare today that you are faithful, and that which you have spoken, you will do it, and I will partner with you so that it comes to pass.
Amen. Let's agree. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. So be it.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just declare right now before these witnesses that you have a purpose and a plan for the second half of my life. Lord, that you have a calling, that you will give me new vision,
yes,
new words to speak.
Thank you, Lord.
That you will orchestrate every step that I take from this moment forward, Lord, yes, God, that it will fulfill your plan and your purpose and your destiny for my life. And I declare right now, Lord, that your promises are true,
yes,
that my family will walk with you once again, Lord God, and that their destiny will not be stolen from,
yes,
them, Lord God, but they will fulfill their destiny. Thank you, Jesus.
We agree with Tina in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it be. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
I declare that Frontier Wildlife Management, both the trapping and the guiding business, will be profitable and be able to provide for what my family needs, because you, Lord, told me to start these businesses,
yes,
and you will give me the plan and wisdom and how, what I, the steps and obedience I need to do to make them profitable, because you've given them to me,
yes,
Lord. And also the spiritual ministry of Faith Afield, Lord, would grow and expand and reach all that you have called that business to reach,
yes,
in Jesus' name.
We agree, oh God, with Alan and his declaration. Thank you, Lord. Let it be, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
I declare that, as God has said, one day at a time, that each and every day God will tell me what today, and that as I play my instrument and as I sing, that people will be healed as God has spoken. And I declare that the mission field will be wide open to me, and that as I go, that God will go before me and will do great works.
God, I declare that my husband, who is sick with dizziness and has been for 3 years, that your healing touch will heal him completely,
yes,
in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Lord, we agree with that word and that declaration in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you. Pray for me.
I decree that I will have strength in my body and in my mind and in my spirit to do all that you've called me to do. I decree that I will meet you each morning, that I will be excited to meet you, that you will never disappoint me.
Yeah.
I declare, Lord, that you are true and faithful even when I am not. Lord, I declare that you will finish the good work that,
yes,
that you have begun in my parents and in my family members,
yes,
for salvation.
Yes.
I declare that you will clarify the gospel to my dad in particular. Lord, I declare that you are faithful to restore,
yes,
his mind,
yes,
as he turns his heart on you. Lord, I declare that you are able to reach him in any state of mind or body or illness. I declare, Lord God, that you are able to reach my mother in her hardness of heart, Lord, and in the fears. Lord, I declare that you are able to reveal yourself to anyone, Lord God, that there is nothing too hard for you.
Right.
In
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah.
Lord, I declare that I am and will and continue to be salt and light to my neighbors. You have planted me there, Lord, and you have blessed me, and I will be a blessing to them. And Lord, I pray that you would give me eyes to see and ears to hear for signs to share your love with them, and I believe for their salvation as each life, Lord, you allow me to love on them.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for this calling. I decree and declare it in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord. Thank you, Father. We agree with all. Thank you.
Father, we pray that you would continue the good work that you've begun in us tonight, Lord God, until it's completed. That you would continue, Lord, to soften our hearts. You would continue to bring us to places of surrender. Lord, that we would see the lies quickly and apply the truth, O God. We agree with every declaration that's been made tonight, whether out loud or in someone's heart, O God. And we just say yes and amen to each and every one. And I pray, Father, as you reveal other things to us, that we would lift our vision higher, Lord, that we would be able to do and accomplish every single thing that you've called us to, that we would not miss one part of our destiny. And Lord, that as we do, we would have testimony after testimony that would encourage others to expectation, O God. Lord, that we would make others jealous. Lord, that we would be able to say, lift your vision higher and see God and what he can do. We thank you that you are the God of possibilities. And we thank you and bless you for it tonight, Lord. Seal it to our hearts. Let us continue to speak it, to walk it out, Lord God, and to see it fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen.